Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Text for consideration is recorded for us in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We hear these words. Indeed, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," is the same one who made light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God and the person of Jesus Christ. We hold this treasure in clay jars to show that its extraordinary power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed, perplexed, yet not despairing, persecuted, yet not forsaken, struck down, yet not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of our Lord Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. To be sure, while we are living, we are continually being handed over to death because of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our mortal flesh. So then, death is at work in us, but life is working in you. God's word is truth. Amen. Ann Arbor is a city in Michigan. It's about the same size as Madison and has the same feel to it. A big college town where football is king. There's a Jewish synagogue there that I went to once. And they had artifacts from the Holy Land of Israel, pieces of history from 1,000 to 2,000 years old, some even older. And they were located around the inside of the building. There was this one in particular that caught my eye. A clay pot from Galilee was on display. It was old, real old. Perhaps around the time of Jesus, it was broken in several places and pieced back together. And they made replica pieces to replace the missing ones, and you could tell from the color. It was found in an ancient garbage heap. Someone had thrown it away because it broke. In the world before Tupperware, there were clay pots. The material is cheap, it is easy to form, and can have a nice shape to it. Some look quite dignified and others simple. They can hold a little or a lot, depending on the size. And some clay jars in Jesus' day could hold 20 to 30 gallons. And the thing with clay pots is that they crack easily. They are prone to break. You have to be gentle with them. You have to know them well to use them. We are clay jars. That is the picture here before us today. Paul understood that about himself, and I pray that we do as well. Our mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, public, and private lives are all pieces of who we are molded into one jar of clay. Are we fragile? Yes. Prone to break? Absolutely. Yet for some reason, God chose us to carry around the treasure of the gospel, the word of God in clay jars. Paul had many scars from life. He was an accessory to murder. He imprisoned Christians. He was filled with pride in who he was. According to his lineage, he was a purebred believer, Hebrew of Hebrews. And when God changed his life, he realized that all of that was really garbage. Beforehand, he was taking pride in the fragile clay jar. That was his focus, himself. He made himself a supposed means to heaven. That can never be. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all are sinners. We can't earn heaven. And to focus on the clay jar is foolish. I can't stand up here and claim I am holy without sin, because I am not. I cannot say, "Follow the Ten Commandments with perfection like me," because I have not followed them perfectly. Only Jesus has. The Apostle Paul was beaten, shipwrecked, 3 times, stoned and left for dead, whipped with rods, imprisoned and more, all for the sake of the gospel, to proclaim the gospel. And those physical scars probably stayed with him. He had a thorn in the flesh. Not sure what it was. Some think it was eyesight. Others, maybe that he stumbled in his words when he spoke. Maybe he wasn't a preacher who looked like Brad Pitt or something. Maybe he was known as the ugly preacher with the good gospel. He'd be fine with that. He overlooked his humanity, his weaknesses, his faults, and proclaimed the gospel anyways, because the gospel is that important. It is the treasure of your soul. It is the eternal gospel surrounded by this clay jar. Verse 6 says this, the God who said, let light shine out of darkness is the same one who made light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. We have our scars too, don't we? I don't think any of us have been beaten, shipwrecked, 3 times stoned and left for dead, whipped with rods and imprisoned for the sake of the gospel. But our sins have beaten us up some, haven't they? Our sin leaves scars on the heart and our lives, and this fragile jar has a fissure in it, here and there. We might look at ourselves and claim, how could I ever share the gospel? When people look into my life with a magnifying scope, they will see sins past, they will see imperfections. Who would ever want to follow in my footsteps? So the sin is silence. Silence to sharing Jesus because we get caught up in ourselves and not in our Savior, the one who saves me, the one who saves you. And it isn't about following in my footsteps. It's about people following in the footsteps of the Good Shepherd. That is what really matters. It says this, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. The extraordinary power of God is in his love for people, sinners like you and me, and sinners who don't even know him. He sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous alike. And yes, he knows we need rain. The extraordinary power of God is in his forgiveness for people who often take pride in the fragile clay jar of self. God forgives the repentant in heart. The extraordinary power of God is found in faith at work in you and in me. Once darkness, yet now found in faith and forgiveness. Once dead in sin, now producing fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You get to see those in your life. Verses 8 and 10 says this, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Perplexed, yet not despairing. Persecuted, yet not forsaken. Struck down, yet not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of the Lord Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. If the gospel isn't real, this isn't worth it. That is what people saw in the Apostle Paul. The gospel shines in our weakness. Its power is made evident in our fragile selves. I will tell you something you already know. The treasure of the gospel is worth it. It's worth it so much that although we are not perfect, we will share the perfect gospel. Even though we stumble over our words, we will share the crystal clear gospel. Even though we are sinners, forgiven sinners, we will share the God who forgives sin. And even though we are not the best at fatherhood, motherhood, and the like, we will share Jesus with the kids and tell them that a Christian life isn't about being perfect. It's about being forgiven. It's about being restored to a holy God through Jesus. Striving to be what God calls us to be. Seeing that as our calling, our ministry. At a funeral here on Wednesday, there were some kids after the luncheon cooling off in the sanctuary because the air conditioning is down in the offices. And they had questions about God, about worship, about the windows. And I had the opportunity to show them each window and tell them the gospel story. We are very much like one of the windows here. You all have a different story to share. When the light of the gospel shines through us, we have a story to tell about God and the gospel in our lives. Shine brightly. Amen. And now may the grace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.